Welcome back to This Week on Channel 9. I'm Brian Keller.
I'm Dan Fernandez.
And a lot in store here.
Yeah, we got a lot of cool stuff. So
some Windows Phone stuff.
Yeah, we got some Channel 9 stuff that we're going to get to.
Yes, Channel 9 stuff.
Yeah, some MVC3.
MVC3. Let's jump right into our top story.
And maybe a little lasers later.
Yes, that's right. So so we got some new digs. It's all looking better around here.
No, that's not what we meant.
What do you mean?
Preview the new Channel 9 is what we're talking here, sir.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Like, if you look around this video right now... Right?
I don't know if we're actually pushing this all the videos live to the new site. I think it's a one-time thing, but...
Okay, then you tell me what this is all about.
Well, I just don't know when we're doing a sync. We'll have to do a sync now,
because so
I don't want
you to be a snapshot of some existing
snapshot
content.
Of some existing content. Yeah. Preview.channel9.msdn.com. This is, you know, we did a couple posts last week, text posts that went through kind of... what our goals, what we were trying to do. We did this week on Channel 9, Duncan walked through the features and all the cool stuff. Now we actually have the site where anybody can play with, and you can file bugs, and more importantly, vote up bugs and suggestions for Channel 9. So rather than us, you know, it's hard sometimes to take feedback when, you know, there's three people that have three different opinions on mm-hmm. something. You don't necessarily know which one is the right one or which one to act on. Having like a large number of customers say this is absolutely the most important feature for you all to do helps us do
yeah.
that. And Connect now has the thumbs up, thumbs down.
I submitted a feature that maybe everyone can vote for. It's MMO Channel 9. So everyone go vote for that.
Nice. An old Scott Hanselman reference.
Yeah,
So the other cool part is for those of you who want to know what happened in terms of the architecture changes, Sampi goes into this, and frankly, he only, you know, they could be a lot deeper in terms of all the stuff that goes on in terms of what happens with the page request,
mm-hmm.
but has a lot of stuff and actually goes through, like, what the current version of Channel 9 does and what the new version of 9 does and all the Memcached stuff and how it all works.
Cool.
So a lot of interesting stuff.
So
there.
When's this becoming live, like, not beta?
Good question.
Yes, it is a good question. Do we get a good answer?
No.
Not yet?
Yeah,
when customers tell us it's ready. That's
when customers tell
exactly.
us it's ready.
Awesome. So, cool. Next version of Channel 9, Channel 10. You saw it here first. So, ASP.NET MVC 3. So, yet another version.
Yes, that we're officially out of date. We're officially out of date. Channel 9 uses ASP.NET MVC 2.
But, so Scott goes to a great extent during his blog post to say that it's MVC2 apps are not out of date. They'll continue to run. Your skills will continue to work. But you can just take advantage of new things like the new view improvements, like the ability to choose how the view gets rendered, right?
Yeah, you know, a lot of support for the Razor engine. Now, you won't get IntelliSense support for the Razor engine just yet in Visual Studio.
In this preview one.
In this preview yeah. one. But Scott is saying that that it's coming in Visual Studio, so you won't need Web Matrix for mm-hmm. to use that as your view engine. Other things would be like the global filtering that you can add within controllers, the ability to do dynamic views. There's basically a lot of stuff in there. Check out Scott's post for all the detail. One of the coolest things, I think, is the ability to unit test a view and actually not need a web server to do that. So he talks about that in the context of a Razor engine. Now, Alon Lipton,
yeah, project upgrade.
Yeah, project upgrade. Yep. So if you have an MVC2 project, he has a nice little utility that basically takes your solution files and CS proj or VB proj or whatever, upgrades them so that you can use MVC3.
Got it.
So a lot of stuff to play with. And again, these are early previews, so give the team feedback.
And do we know if we're allowed to use this in production yet?
I don't know. I don't know the answer.
Usually not. So definitely read the licensing on that.
Sure.
So productivity tools. We talked about this month ago, so June, the beginning of June, we released the Visual Studio 2010 productivity power tools,
mm-hmm.
and they added a lot of things for like changing the way that you tabify your code, changing the add references. So add new reference now does local caching. You can search within it. Lots of really nice fit and finish features around like tabbing and like lining up all of your code.
Tab wells, yeah, everything.
Exactly. So this is an update to that
yes.
that fixes a bunch of bugs and then also adds a couple new features as well.
Yeah, so solution navigator, which is the replacement, if you will, for Solution Explorer, mm-hmm. allows you to search for through everything within your project, right? So normally you'd have to, if you were searching for files, you'd have to know what project or what class they're under. Or if you go to class view, I think there was a way to search, but you'd have to be within the class view. This gives you like the list of files and the contents within the files as well, so you can kind of see all the things you're looking for. Second thing is Quick Access. Now, Quick Access is the best feature. It is how you discover, and like, I don't know how to find a specific feature in Visual Studio. Like, how do I re-add clean solution in a product when, say, like, I removed it from the window, or I used some like Express profile that maybe hid clean solution.
Gotcha.
Right? Like, what am I going to do? Well, I just typed clean solution and it finds out where that is.
This,
so you know,
helpful,
the feature
yeah.
exists,
yep.
you can't find it.
I was trying to find the IntelliTrace like VCR buttons. You know how they nest
yeah.
along the left-hand side? Well, the problem with that is that when you're using IntelliTrace to move up and down, the actual slider moves up and down as well, depending on where you're at in the code. And so it makes it hard to like follow it and like go next, but if you get the one that nests in the toolbar, then it's easy. So
yeah, and you're going, you know, debug Windows so and so local window or something like that, like
yeah,
all the
like,
things, or even in the test tools, like you can't find stuff, right?
Yep.
So very cool, just do an easy search. And actually, this is built into the product. The ability to search by feature was in there for the keybinding tools, where you type in a feature name and it lets you keybind as well. So they kind of made this like,
it,
hey,
yeah.
now you can actually call that feature directly
oh, nice.
There.
Go figure. That's cool. So speaking of keyboard shortcuts.
Exactly.
So this is an update to the Visual Studio 2010 keyboard shortcuts. We talked about this in the past. Now they've published them with all sorts of different like paper layouts as well. So
Control KU, what does it do?
Adds a new reference.
Ah!
Is it?
No.
No.
It undoes a comment.
That's
undoes
what I said. Yeah,
comment.
Can we play that
control
back?
Control KC,
that's exactly what I said.
Control KU.
Wow. I was thinking of Emacs. That's
oh,
why.
Oh, yeah. That's true. We do have Emacs key bindings.
That's true. All right. So managing SQL Azure databases from within a browser. This is
yeah.
project codenamed Houston.
Shut up, it's Houston.
Oh, okay. If you say so.
It's Houston.
Okay.
I swear. Oh, Lord. All of a sudden, I'm a Georgia Bell. So the idea is if you have a SQL Azure database, you can connect to it in SQL Management Studio.
Yep.
No problem. Say you're on somebody else's machine, or you just need to do a quick change, you can actually go to a browser and have tools within the browser. Now, those tools are limited, and they're just not as feature-rich as SQL Management
yeah.
Studio, obviously, because it's in the browser. But it's got a lot of good things, and it's perfect for the, hey, I just need to make this change, or hey, I just need to connect to my database to do X, Y, Z. So definitely check it out. It is a CTP, so you know there's maybe things that are rough around the edges, but give the team feedback.
Cool.
On what you think.
All right. So this is what is
you, Rene Schulte.
Rene Schulte. Okay, he sent us
Schulte.
A WAV file, right? So that we know how to pronounce
yes,
his name.
Yes, and I think we got it right.
Okay, cool. And so this is Windows Phone 7 sample app.
Yeah. So it is how he basically walks through how to connect and use the pickers and choosers, if you will, to see what images are on the machine,
mm-hmm.
to be able to load and iterate through the images.
By
then
on
use
machine,
a writable bitmap
on the device.
Yeah,
right?
Sorry.
Right.
And then use a writable bitmap to say edit it. And
okay.
I don't want to give away the stuff, but Renee's working on a very cool Coding for Fun app that I've seen on Clint's Windows Phone, and it is very cool.
Nice. Okay.
So I'm excited.
So what is this particular blog post? This is
yeah.
Just...
this is how you work with photos on
okay.
Windows Phone 7.
Okay. So this isn't the app that you're talking about.
This is not the app, but it's you'll see how this builds on it because okay, now I know how to say iterate through
yep.
through images and say manipulate images and do things like do manipulation events for hand gestures to zoom in and zoom out and
okay.
stuff like that.
Cool. Nice. So, speaking of Windows Phone development, this is tombstoning.
Yes.
So do you want to explain what tombstoning is?
Yeah, maybe the best way to kind of say it is to realize that Windows Phone application execution model is a little different.
Mm-hmm.
Yohai goes through all the details, but what you need to realize is if you, say, change the context of your application could basically go into this state where it's kind of dead. You'll have events before, and the four events that you're going to look for are launching, deactivated, closing, and activated. And you want to make sure to write code, because what will happen is, say, you know, I go to, your application, and then I switch back to Clint's application, and I had some data in your application, I may be getting a new instance of your application. Therefore, the data I had in there would be lost if I didn't handle the events of persisting that, right?
Yeah.
So isolated storage is obviously the easy way to persist, you know, your local data for that application. It's safe. Nobody's going to touch your application store. But you just need to realize what's going on there. And, you know, in the picture, it's we're launching the same application, but we actually lost our data because this is now a new instance.
Right. Gotcha.
So, but for full details, definitely check out Yohai's post.
Okay. Cool. That's good to know, because a little bit different than multitasking on the desktop. So UI guidelines. We now have UI guidelines. I love these because it helps.
These are an update, actually. We've had them for a while.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah. I love these much that I hadn't found them before. I haven't done my first Windows Phone 7 app yet. So,
do you know what you're going to build?
I do, but I can't say.
Torture Dan! Ah!
It's a voodoo doll. That'd be awesome. Hey, you
actually,
can't do that.
It kind of is a great idea.
I patent it right here. Yeah.
No, it's mine.
So this is the UI guidelines. So, like, if you're looking to write applications that conform to the UI guidelines, this spells it out pixel by pixel.
As well as the interaction guide, right? So how do we do things that, you know, move all the metro, how that metro explained. And the other big thing that is new is Photoshop templates. So, you know, maybe you're doing a prototype or you're doing a pitch or you want, you know, full control of something in Blend or Photoshop that can spit out XAML. Illustrator that can spit out XAML, you can use the design templates for Photoshop for that.
Okay.
So you'll have kind of how things should behave in the full look and feel.
Cool. So diffing changes in Windows Phone 7 project. So I forgot this guy's name.
David Anson, I believe.
David Anson. Okay.
So he's
got a project.
Yeah. So he got a project where he was using the Silverlight toolkit to show how you can reuse the graphing controls.
Right.
In Windows Phone applications, right, which is the screen up there. Within the context of he built it for the CTP and then file new project for the beta and then saw the differences in sort of the pre-built file. So
this is the project template. So this is the difference that is between file new project over here.
Yeah.
And he's calling those out.
So things like you now have by default a splash screen, all the styles, like anybody that built an app for the CTP, notice that when you open up app.xaml, huge, every single style for every single control was defined within there. That's all gone. That's actually in the controls now. There's some more application error handling code in app.xaml, some things to define pound win phones for things. Maybe I'm reusing a library across Silverlight, or maybe it's a XAML library, so WPF, Silverlight, and Windows Phone. I can now define, like, if there's something specific to this platform, then I can define my code within there, and that way, if I move it over, it knows not to execute that code. So there's a lot of interesting stuff that's kind of changed in the beta that people have been using the CTP would be interested in.
But I think the other important point he makes here is that he didn't have to change any of his app code.
Yes.
When he upgraded.
Now, absolutely.
Doesn't
now,
mean
he was
that
using,
all applications are going to be that way, but...
He was using the Silverlight control tool toolkits, because there are a number of changes in the beta, and they are for the right reasons.
Right.
So I support that team.
So this is Adam Kinney. So Adam Kinney posting about the new IE9, what is it, Preview 3 that we're on?
Yeah, I think it's PP3.
Platform Preview 3. And so they've got all these sample apps that you can see that really show off like how the GPU acceleration works and HTML5 with the new canvas controls and things like that. And they've got one called Fishy and Fish IE. And so you can show like all these fish swimming around in the aquarium, and then you can crank up the number of fish and watch the frames per second and see that, you know,
that GPU
really
thing
well.
You said is the key, because you know, IE9 uses GPU. You do the same demo in Chrome or Firefox, and the frames per second is like 6
exactly.
versus 60
right.
or something ridiculous on IE.
Right. And so he wrote his own. He basically shows how you can like move a whole bunch
he
of
dissects
objects
it,
over there.
Right. So if you want to know what's going on in that fish tank demo, he's got a multi-part thing, and he goes on describes how it works
with the little Easter Island statues that you see here. So it's cool. I love Adam's post.
Yeah.
Pick of the week. So my pick of the week is, of course, I'm the ALM guy, so I got to talk about Team Foundation Server whenever I can. Don't fall asleep on me. This is actually important because I know you're running TFS at home. Are you on TFS 2010 yet?
I'm on Subversion.
Oh, no.
GitHub.
No, come
Mercurial. On. Mercurial.
You're killing me. So so when you go to upgrade your...
Don't worry, I'm sinking.
Okay. When you go to upgrade TFS 2010, this is a pretty rare instance that you could become host, but we have had a few isolated incidents of people that have had some problems when they upgrade from TFS 2008 to TFS 2010, which do cause some data loss. Mm. And so the team's been hard at work. We're actually refreshing all the media for TFS 2010. So if you haven't yet upgraded to 2010, I don't mean to like ring the panic bell, because chances are you won't hit this issue. But good idea to go read Brian Harry's post. He'll talk about the specific issues that we have. And then we've got some refreshed TFS 2010 media coming out in the next few weeks, which will fix this problem, as well as hot fixes that can be applied if you've encountered this problem in the past.
Okay.
So something to be aware of. Not a very fun pick of the week to talk about, but definitely important for people that are running TFS.
Yeah, I'm panicked that Pick Up the Milk may be lost in my work item.
May have to add that to the backlog. Work items. Yeah, this is her excuse for why she didn't pick up the milk now.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah, great.
So my pick of the week is Jeremiah Morrill's Coding for Fun article. This is one of the funnest apps where he actually did a graffiti laser tracking. Mm-hmm. So the idea is, you have a laser pen, and he basically built an app that can follow where the color is and knows where the color is. So you have a projector that's not projecting anything. You use a laser on it. The camera's tracking where that laser's going, and then painting with the projector and, say, like lighting that red. And so he goes through everything that you'd want to know about how it actually works, as well as adding cool effects. So, like, you know, maybe there's smoke or there's fire when you're moving this laser around.
Or
so,
like a lightsaber effect.
Actually, I think there's a lot of stuff you could do. Like, if you had something that had a lot of graphics where you're, like, literally carving into, you know, like breaking into a door and you do smoke effects or something that. And it's like, dun, 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 dun.
That's way less fun than TFS upgrades, but, yeah. But okay, it's your pick of the week, you know?
Which reminds me of an old Graffiti Research Labs project that we had done as a pick of the week way back when, mm-hmm. where, and I'd love to do this, where we get a massive projector and we do the same thing except on a 400 by 400 foot building.
Side of a building, yeah.
Yeah.
That'd be awesome. An IMAX screen, let people come in and play.
Totally.
That'd be cool. There's my Windows Phone 7 app. I just need an iMac now and a Windows Phone 7 device.
I love that you said now I just need an iPhone. That's great.
No, that's not what I said.
And he's fired.
We'll see you next week.